Praise God.
Ooh, well, I'm opening it and Matt's closing up. So that's what we're doing today. We're celebrating our 20th anniversary. We've been, you know, doing that the last several weeks. We're doing some classic messages. We're going to continue, actually, talking about this in the days ahead. It's not just one day or one weekend. We did have a great gala the other night. I'm sorry if you weren't able to be here, but I had so much fun. So that's really important to me to tell you. So we had a great time. But, you know, over 20 years ago, we started Good News Church. And the first, right off the bat, when we were even just daring to think about starting a church, because you recognize Matt and I were not in ministry. We had not been to Bible school. We went to ORU, but I majored in communications. Matt majored in history. You can get really great jobs with a history major. Okay, praise the Lord. But anyway, you can become a pastor. When we were starting the church, the Lord talked to us and he said, I want you to throw out all the ideas you had about church that you have. I want you to throw those out and I want you to follow me. And we didn't really understand it at the beginning. You realize Matt was raised in the Catholic church, so he did need to throw out those ideas because a lot of the things that were applicable there wasn't going to work with what we were going to do. And I wasn't raised in church. So a lot of ideas I had about church were negative, to be honest. So there we were, and he told us just throw out your ideas about church. And we've endeavored to do that over the last 20 years. We've endeavored just to follow God, listen to him, see what he would say to us, walk the way that he told us to. And, you know, I'm going to say some days we've done that really well, and sometimes we have failed miserably. We have had some times where we just weren't following him. We just looked around to see what everybody else was doing and said, okay, we'll do that. Okay, we'll do that because it looks so good. Like that would get us a result that we wanted. But the Lord repeatedly would bring us back to, you're supposed to do what I tell you to do. And we knew from the beginning, even though we didn't always like that, that it would be a different kind of church and that we wouldn't necessarily walk the same path that most churches walk because God wanted to do something with us. And it's really, to be honest with you, it's just really become apparent in the last 5 years, really just beginning to see what he had in mind. And there were a lot of things he had to work out of us and a lot of things he had to put into us over the course of these years. We don't really feel like we started the church until we came here to this building. Those first 10 years, even when we reminisce about them, were just crazy, some of the things that happened in those years. So if you weren't here on Friday night, we talked a little bit, you know, we talked a good bit about our beginnings. If you weren't here in those years, you might have felt a little left out, but I'm going to tell you, you might be glad you weren't here. Because we had some crazy days. We were reminiscing about how we used to meet at 6 o'clock in the morning for prayer. And like we'd be eager to get there. What were we thinking? And all the crazy stuff we would do. We just flat did crazy stuff. I won't even tell you, but some of it's embarrassing, like the time my eyelids got stuck together. But anyway, it was just some crazy stuff happening. I'm glad we kind of grew up. Who knows what might happen today. But anyway, one of the questions we had when we started the church is that we felt was a really, you know, I don't know why you just get fixated on certain things. And one thing that was really, really prominent to us is what are we going to name the church? Because we felt the name of the church was going to be, you know, significant. And so we didn't want to just, there were a lot of trendy names happening and a lot of things. So there are a lot of things to consider. I remember I got out a list of 1,000 church. It was more than 1,000 church names, and I went through all of them seeing if one of those was it. None of those was it. I remember that. Lots of things we did, but I very much remember the afternoon when we were praying and the Lord spoke to us and told us to call the church Good News Church. At that time, I didn't know any churches named Good News Church, but it just seemed, my goodness, it just seemed right. And we were so excited. I think that evening we had Bible study with the people, with the Kennedys and Netzlers, and we were starting the church, and we were telling them, and immediately we spent that whole night rejoicing because we knew this was the name for the church. But it's interesting, you might not realize this, but when we first named our church Good News Church, we had a lot of people make fun of us. People would laugh when we'd tell them the name of our church because it didn't sound very trendy or very similar to a lot of the names that churches had in those days. But God showed us that was what he wanted to name the church. And now I look back 20 years and it's the name of our church. We are Good News Church. God actually knew what he was talking about. But, you know, I remember a couple of the verses, Luke 4:18, when Jesus stood up, when he really launched his earthly ministry, and he stood up and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel, which is the good news to the poor." And that was at the very beginning. God's power was upon us to preach the good news. And then over in Mark 16:15, when Jesus gave his commission there as he left the earth, he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news to every creature." And it was under that that it became really apparent that we were a good news church. But when we first started, one of the things that was very strong in our ministry and continues till this day to be very strong is the truth you see right here, that Jesus came to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. And that idea is that it was in a super abundant life, an over and above life. It was a life greater than any life you or me could ever live on our own. If we just lived the way we were going to live according to the course of this world, we would live at a very low level. But Jesus came to interrupt that and to lift us up into a higher way of living. And I found over the last 20 years a much higher way of living. And it would be a life that would overflow to others. Jesus came on that mission, and we are continuing that mission to give life. Give it more, but, you know, that we would, the people we know would have life. But when we started, there were certain truths that we were really convinced of. The Bible talks about how God will write his word on your heart. And if you could see our hearts, if you could open us up, not these organs, but see our spiritual hearts, you would see certain things written on our hearts. And one of the things is the revelation of the integrity of God's word, that God is good for his word, that he really meant it. It's not just a collection of stories or good sayings or things that we can quote, but it's God talking to us, and he's good for his word. And his promises, just like the Bible says, are yes and amen. He meant them. And we can live our lives based on those truths. We can act like the Bible is really true every day. Not just like when we go to church and say amen, hallelujah, but on Monday and Tuesday and all the rest of the week, we can live like God really meant what he said. And when he said that he was giving us a benefit package called salvation that contained healing and wholeness and restoration and peace and deliverance and protection, soundness, when he said he would provide for us, all that was actually true. And we could count on him all week long, every day, to uphold his end of that promise and for him to be faithful. And we have found him to be faithful, much more faithful than we ever were. And we have stepped out to trust him. We haven't always trusted him, but I'm telling you, when we've trusted God, he has been God to us. He's never failed us. And so that's written on our heart. Another thing that's written on our heart is that the Holy Spirit desires to be an active, ongoing help, comforter, friend in our lives, and to show us the way we should apply the word and walk in the will of God. We believe the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for every believer. It's necessary and vital for every believer. And that his and his presence in our lives would empower us, just as Greg mentioned earlier, that the Holy Spirit doesn't just baptize us so we can have an experience, but he comes on us to empower us. But he leads us in the way that we should go. And the leading of the Holy Spirit has just been very central to what we've done in these years. You know, one interesting thing about the baptism of the Holy Spirit is it seems that not everybody finds it as easy to help people get baptized in the Holy Spirit as we do. I know some people do, but we have had people through the years. It's funny to me. I can count people who've come to Good News Church just to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They didn't want to attend our church. They didn't want to be part of it. They just came to get baptized in the Holy Spirit because they couldn't where they were. And we've had a number of people like that. They just show up, get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and go on their merry way. And you know what? I'm really glad they did. Thank God. In whatever way we can help you, get help and go on. That's fine. And one, I don't mean you have, you know, Ben, don't laugh at me. One of the things that's been really strong in our church is the revelation that we are now in Christ and who we are in Christ, and that we've been made right with God, not by our own works or our own efforts, because my goodness, those fall so short, could never measure up. But Jesus has made us right with God, and he's given us the same relationship with God that he himself has. What a privilege. The privilege of fellowship with our Heavenly Father. The privilege of knowing him, of really intimately knowing him. Not just knowing about him, reading his book, not just, you know, serving him, but knowing him. Knowing him. That's been real, just very much, just living in his presence have been just a real part of our church. And as a result of who Christ has made us, we now have authority. We have authority as believers, and we have the right to use his power to enforce his will in this earth. His will is not necessarily being done, because God isn't in control, contrary to what most people believe. But God has given control, authority over to his body in the earth. And as believers, we are free to exercise that authority in the name of Jesus. It's awesome. So these are the things we started with. And frankly, what you're going to get when you come today is where we are. Some other things have come forward, but there's always been this part. I mentioned earlier that God gave us the name Good News Church, but we had something happen to us in 1997 that sort of challenged the name of our church. And you can see, and we'll show it to you here, and you'll see my reaction. The reason I'm reacting like I do is because I'm thinking, but God, you gave us the name Good News Church. So play that if you will, Grayson.
You knew it, didn't you? Might as well stand up. Praise God forevermore. The blessing of the Lord, the goodness of God has been manifest unto thee and in thy midst. But you might as well change the name. No, don't actually do it. But you might as well change the name of your place of worship to the Glory Barn. For the glory of the Lord shall be made manifest in a greater measure than you've seen heretofore.
That was a funny moment in my life. But the Lord spoke through Brother Hagin that we might as well change the name of our church. No, don't really do it. I was glad when he said that. But he said, you might as well change the name of your church to the Glory Barn, because you're going to see the glory of the Lord manifest in a greater measure than what you've seen heretofore. And, you know, at that time when he said that, of course, we interpreted that based on the knowledge that we had at that moment and what that meant. But I can tell you this, since that time, and that's been almost 18 years, I've come to interpret it in a whole different way. Because a barn, I think the first time I heard it, it was on glory, the emphasis. But now I really recognize it's just as much an emphasis on the word barn, because a barn is where you keep the tools for harvest. A barn is where you go out in the barn and you get ready to go out into the harvest. You get the supplies and you get to sharpen up your tools and all that. And that is what we are. We are a place where we sharpen people and get ready for the harvest. Praise the Lord. So there was that happened. But, you know, thousands of people are not here today, but thousands of people have been affected by Good News Church. Tens of thousands of people have been born again through the ministry of Good News Church. But we've also had thousands and thousands of people partake of the teaching here. I don't know how many of you remember this, but in the early days of Good News Church, we had commercials on television, and we said, if you call this number, we'll send you a tape about God's plan for your life. And we sent out thousands, like 4,000. Eddie would know, he made most of those tapes. 4,000 cassette tapes all over the area to people who called in to get a cassette tape, and it explained the gospel, the good news, and how God has a plan for your life. It's amazing. We used to have a television program. Some of you saw some clips of that the other night. We used to have a television program. Until the Lord told us that I never told you to go on TV. And we're like, oh, yeah. We just thought that was a good idea. And he said, yeah, but I never told you to do it. But anyway, we did meet Bobby Widener and Denise through that. It was worth it for you, baby doll. It was worth it to meet you. So we did that, and you know, a lot of things, our radio station, a lot of ways people have been taught. But you know, you look around and you think 20 years, shouldn't there be more people here? But I'm going to tell you, the greatest measure of Good News Church's impact is out there. And it's interesting, I had something happen last Sunday. There was a lady in service, and she, I met her before the service, you know, during the meet and greet time. And she said, I said, you know, what brought you here today? She said, oh, I've been to Good News Church. She said, I came one time when you were on Wrightsboro Road. And so I thought, wow, that's kind of a long time ago. And so I met her, and all. Well, after the service, she came up to me. She said, I need to tell you something that you don't know. Good News Church is a major part of my testimony. And I'm thinking, you came one time on Wrightsboro Road, long time ago. She goes, what I didn't tell you when I introduced myself to you is that when I came, and she told me who, she was a friend of a young woman in our church, and she came with her once to visit, and she said, what you don't know is that I was in a place of terrible bondage. And she said, I had was in a really bad place where I would injure myself, self-injury, and she said, I would cut myself. And she said, I tried to stop it, tried to get help for it, and nothing had helped me, and I couldn't stop. And she said, it was just taking my life from me. And she said, the day that I came, someone in the church prayed for me. Just someone in the church. She didn't say who. It wasn't like some big glory cloud moment up front. Someone in the church just prayed for her. And she said, and whatever that was, it left. And she said, it's never been back. And she said, there were moments, I've even had moments since then where I thought, man, I should go and cut. You know, it was that urge would come up in her. And she said, and I would try to do it, and I couldn't even do it. I couldn't even make myself do it. She said, God delivered me. And then she told me that she has gone from place to place and shared her story with people and even been on television sharing the good news of how God delivered her from that terrible bondage. Because somebody at church prayed with her. You don't know the other side of this. You don't know. I had no idea. And there's many, many more like that that we don't know. We don't know about. So I'm just going to get to heaven and meet a lot of people, Here's some great stuff. Years ago, after the Glory Barn, sometime after that, someone gave us a copy of Philip Yancey's book, What's So Amazing About Grace. And we read that book just a little bit at the time because it was so offensive, honestly. Because it was in your face grace. And it was tough to read, man, because I kept finding myself being a Pharisee or an older brother in the prodigal son story. And eventually was able to plow through that. And around the same time, we heard Ed Elliott. At a Brother Hagin meeting, we heard Ed Elliott talking about God's love for us and the love of the Father in a way I'd never heard it. I'd always heard the love of God being something I needed to give to other people. But it was really great when I found out that I can only give it to people because God has lavished his love upon me. And that revelation really changed us. And we became a new church, and really a freedom came to us to reach out to people. And at the time that was working in our lives, we'd always had a heart for the lost. Because early on, when we first started the church, we had a day of outreach where Matt made us go out and knock on doors. And we were petrified, and we went out and knocked on doors, and we didn't get anybody saved. And finally, the last house, Matt made a woman get saved just so we could say somebody got saved, and it wasn't a total failure because we were so terrible at doing that. But it was because we were doing it out of obligation, not because that was what God was working in our hearts. And once that love of God began, we just began to receive God's love. The natural response to receiving his love is to share it with others. And that's where the passion for souls that you see here is one of our values really became evident in this church. And those of you who were here at the gala on Friday night heard Eddie testify or tell about how that began to work in our church, and how in the year 2001 we were able to pray with and document, pray with more than 10,000 people to be born again right here. And some of those people have gone on to be with the Lord. Some of them I know, and they've gone on to be with the Lord, and they're in heaven today. Hallelujah. But, you know, that has just always been an ongoing mission for us, is sharing the gospel with people. We've always had a diverse congregation. We've had several times. I remember some years ago, some people were coming to town, sponsored by a big denomination. They were coming to Augusta, and they came over to talk to us because their plan through that denomination was to have an interracial church. And so they wanted to ask us, how did you get an interracial church? How did you get a diverse church? And so I remember they were all ready. They had their pen. They're ready to share it with us. You remember this, Matt? We're sitting and they're ready, you know, they're ready for us to tell them the secret. And so they asked the question and Matt looks at me and I look at Matt and Matt looks at me and I look at Matt and we didn't have an answer. I don't even remember Matt blathered on about something for a few minutes and then they figured out we didn't know and they left, but we didn't know. All we knew is if we love people, people would know it. They would know if it was real or not. My thought is if you're trying to have an interracial church, if you're trying to have a diverse church, that's not going to work. You just love people. And people know if you love them or not. People know if you're real or not. But this has been a grace place. This is a grace place. And people that come here, Matt always has prayed that people that come here would experience God's love and that they would find open arms. And that's what Good News Church is. It's a place of open arms. Open arms. Period. Open arms. Hallelujah. Matt and I were raised up under the vision. We met at Oral Roberts University, and we were raised up under the vision that God gave Oral when he called him to start the university. And he said to him, raise up your students to hear my voice, to go where my light is dim, where my voice is heard small, and my healing power is not known, even to the uttermost bounds of the earth. And their work will exceed yours, and in this I am well pleased. And we're part of that. This church is part of that. And I think God's pleased. But through our association there with Oral Roberts, that really founded and really, you know, took hold in our life. And then it was those flames were fanned by evangelist friends of ours, David Horton and then Jeremy Gall, who you saw today. But we've always had the spark of the miraculous at Good News Church. And just a lot of miracles in all kinds of ways. We've seen the miraculous here at Good News Church. And what I would say as I'm closing out what I'm saying is that when we started our church, we were a place where people could come and hear the good news and receive from God. Hear what Jesus had done for them, that he'd settled our account, so to speak, paid our debt, and made a way for us to be right with God. And because of that, there were so many blessings we could receive. So we really started the church helping people to receive from God. But over the last 20 years, we still help people receive from God. But we've moved to a place and a point now where we recognize that it's not just about us receiving. But everything that we receive is so that we can give it. And I don't just mean money. I mean everything that God's done for us, we're to give and pass it on to the next person. We call that empowerment, that the Holy Spirit comes upon us to enable us to be Jesus in our worlds. Amen.
Yeah, when I was young, when we started the church, I was 33 and a little trimmer. But I used to have 10 pages of notes and 20 to 25 scriptures. And bless God, we were going to get through every one of those scriptures. Those were back in the days. We'd have 2-hour, 2.5-hour, sometimes 3-hour services. Who can say, thank God, I'm not in those services? But I have some scriptures for you. Let's look at Matthew 7, verse 24. And I'm going to read this from the Message translation. says this, these words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed on the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you are like a stupid carpenter who built his house on the sandy beach. When a storm rolled in, and the storm would roll in, and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. You know, in the scriptures, in the New Testament, Old Testament, it talks a lot about building things, about building the house, building the temple. And anybody that is a carpenter or a builder knows that the key to any solid structure is the foundation. And so what Susie was describing, that over the years a foundation was laid on these principles, these parts of the word, these, you know, living by faith and our authority, all these different things. And so that built a strong foundation. But the issue with the foundation, it's mentioned in the Old Testament, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, houses can be built. Unless the Lord builds the house, the labor is in vain. And we've always not wanted our labor to be in vain. We wanted it to have purpose and to mean something. So he's been building something here, and I would say since we've probably been in this building, when we purchased this building, we had our Moving Forward Together campaign, we shared that the building was like a net. And that was the purpose of the building. It wasn't so we just have a nice home, but it would be like a net so we could catch more people and impact more lives. But one of the questions I think that we've been asking ourselves over these last 10 years is, what's it all for? And that's a good question. What's it all for? What are the blessings for? What's healing for? What's prosperity for? What's righteousness for? What's, you know, all these different things that we've learned, living by faith, you know, the love of God, God's peace, you know, all these different things. And that's a question we need to ask today as we're celebrating our 20th anniversary. What's it for? And so I want to tell you that I think we've learned some things in the last 10 years. And Susie just kind of touched on it. But let's look at Matthew 28. And this is a good what for scripture. Can answer that question. Matthew 28, verse 18. And, you know, we read these things and people kind of, you know, eyes get glazed over and whatever. But, you know, still to me, this is the Great Commission. Still to me, these are the last words of Jesus, our Savior, our Master, giving instructions to the church. And they're just as powerful 2,000 years later, you know, just as powerful. And just, it's still the same. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. And so, what for? What's it all about? It when it comes down to it, our lives and the life of this church, and it really should be any church, any ministry, should be about the Great Commission. This should be burning in our hearts. This is our purpose. This is our reason for being. You know, Paul said in Philippians that it's far better for me to depart and be of Christ. How many know that's true? That to die is great gain. But why should I, you know, I'm torn between the two. And why should I remain? Because of fruit. Because of bearing fruit. And so as Christians and as believers, our lives, and again, I know, you know, certainly when you're just coming into this, You know, you don't even know how to bear fruit. I mean, you can get a young, ignorant person, put them on the farm, but they have no idea what they're doing. They're going to have to be taught. They're going to have to be trained. There's going to be some hard lessons to be learned. But eventually, if they stick with it, they'll be harvesting. And that's the same thing here for this. That ultimate goal of a disciple and a follower of Christ is to bear fruit. Is to impact your world. And it says here, the way they say that, is to make disciples. Now, I was blessed when I was first saved. I was saved at the age of 19 in a Lowell Lundstrom meeting, evangelist Lowell Lundstrom, at the Metropolitan Sports Center. The building's no longer there in Minneapolis. I was saved with my brother Pat. We both went forward that night and got saved. And then I went back to school, and I was involved with a ministry called Campus Crusade for Christ. I think it's called CRU now. And it was an amazing group that I was involved in. We would meet every Tuesday night, 140 of us. And I had these different people that I got connected with. And one of them that I met said, you know, I'm going to take you out with me. And we're going to go out and witness. And so we knocked on doors. We called them appointments. And we'd meet with all the students. And we'd share the gospel with them and get them saved. And so in the process of that, I was being trained. And then as I got better at it, then I started getting people saved. Then my mentor, my sponsor person, helped me start a Bible study of people that I had got saved. They were all about making disciples. And so they had these pamphlets. And I can remember still to this day, sitting out on a nice spring day out on the lawn in St. Cloud, Minnesota, down by the river with my students, going through our little book together, going over the Word. And that's the kind of culture that we had. And I went on several missions projects with them, one to San Diego, all about making disciples, all about getting saved. Went to the country of Panama, was there for 2 months, saw 10,000 people saved, impacted a whole lot of churches and people. And from there, that's when I went to ORU. So Matthew 28 has been, for me, from the very beginning, an impact and an influence on my life. I've had these people around me that have had this burning in their hearts. And so it says here to make disciples, and then the next question is, what kind of disciples? Well, then let's look over in Acts chapter 1, and let's talk about what kind of disciples. Acts 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, excuse me. It just had a mind of its own and just jumped. Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Has the Holy Spirit come upon you? And you shall be witnesses. This is the purpose of the power. Thank God for praying in tongues. Thank God for a whole lot of things about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for being led by the Holy Spirit. Brother Hagin, the one you saw on the screen that ministered to Susie and I, we were in a lot of his meetings. And he was in a lot of moves of God. I mean, over 65 years of ministry. And in what he said, this last move of God would be that God would raise up strong local churches that know how to flow with the Holy Spirit. But the purpose of flowing with the Holy Spirit is to be a witness. And a lot of churches, they just don't get it. And a witness is to share the things they have heard and the things they have seen. And where do we to be witnesses? I mean, Luke covers it here. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. We may not like this, and a lot of churches don't want to talk about it anymore. It's just not cool. We would rather have a whole lot of other things, but we don't want this. But to me, I'm going to stick with the book. I'm going to stick with the book. And I'm going to stick with what it says here, which is the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Who is baptized in the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues? So I'm talking to you, and you may not be there yet. You may not be a witness yet. But stick with us, and you will be. You will be. And it is really, and see, this is why we have a whole lot of frustrated, bored Christians today who cause a lot of division in churches and get easily offended because they don't understand this. They don't realize the receiving is for a purpose. And so if you just get fed, you know what happens? You just get fat. You get fat and sassy. And then all you care about is whether they say hi to you the right way in church, or what color things are, or whether they have smoke machines, or the right lights, or the praise and worship, or, you know, or do they do all these things for me? And that's okay. But that's really the mentality of a baby. And a baby, I mean, Molly Anna has got this new puppy. And I love Molly Anna, but this puppy is just nipping at my feet and peeing on our clean carpet. But that's what puppies do. So much energy. Annabelle's just like. And Rue is just everywhere at once. That's what puppies do. Puppies pee on carpet. Carpet, I'm going to pee here. And so we understand that. But, you know, as we mature, eventually, there's things we're to be doing as believers. And we need to grow out of some things. And that's the deal. And that's the tension you have in church. Is where's that time? And I'm looking for that. I'm wanting to bring people along. I want to challenge you. I don't want you just to be complacent and be just a receiver. If you're a baby in Christ, we're going to hold your hand. But eventually, we're expecting more out of you. God's expecting more. So we're making disciples. We're making disciples who are witnesses. And then we're making disciples who do stuff. And that's found in Mark 16. We do the stuff. People at Good News Church that have been here and have hung in there through it all do the stuff. Verse 15 says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Gospel means good news. To every creature, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs, everybody say signs.
Signs.
Wave your hand and say signs.
Signs.
Look at your hands and say signs, wonders, and miracles. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick. and they will recover. It didn't say apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. It didn't say special anointed ones. People with the gift. People with the gift of evangelism. The extroverts. The whatever, you know, all the different reasons. I was at a meeting and just recently with some other ministers, and two other ministers said this. And I was the last speaker in the last night, so I just had I had enough of it. Because they were saying, we shouldn't share the gospel with people if we can't follow up with them, because that's a spiritual abortion. And I heard it once, and then I heard it twice, and then when I got up, I mean, I said it in the most gracious, loving way. I've learned about grace. I was as sweet as I could be in telling him, you're wrong. I said, I've heard this. I said, I was never followed up on. I am a spiritual abortion. Nobody followed up on me. And what about Philip with the Ethiopian eunuch? He was caught away. Why would God catch somebody away if he was supposed to stay there and follow up on him? Now, we follow up on them if we can, but it's not an excuse not to do the stuff, and it's not an excuse to tell people, I'll be thinking of you when you've got time to pray for them. I grew up in the silent faith group. We were told not to share our faith. And we were, you know, just think good things or what. I don't know what, but we weren't taught that. And so that's what we would say. We would say, take care, which had all this meaning to it. You know, or we'd say, you know, I'm thinking of you. That was our code word to mean we're praying for you. We'll, you know, light a candle at church. We'll tell the priest about you, but we'll be thinking of you. How does that help anybody? Here. And people don't like this. You're kidding me. All right, we're going to have a 3-hour service today. That's it. Lock the doors. What was I saying? Huh? Oh, but here, yeah, it was a good one. But here, we do the stuff. We don't say to them, take care, because we don't believe that. I don't want you to take care. So we don't say that. And we don't say, we'll be thinking of you. We'll say to them, what can we pray with you about? And I don't care where it is, in the middle of Walmart. Well, I could do not. Have you seen the people in Walmart? They don't care if you're praying or whatever you're doing. They don't care. It's just all normal there. So just pray for them. Pray in tongues loudly if you want. It'll all just fit in. So this is when we're talking about the ministry of the believer. This is what we're talking about. We're talking in 2 Corinthians 5, the ministry of reconciliation. We want you to be empowered to be in the believer's ministry, ministers of reconciliation, ambassadors for Christ. And here, we don't look at, you know, the fivefold as the special people. We look at the believers as the special people. I'm more of a coach than a pastor. And if you think about it, now the coaches get a lot of glory because players come and go. But isn't it the players that are out on the field getting dirty and the coach standing on the sideline? wearing some suit or some nice outfit, you know. It's the players that do the work. It's the players that bear the fruit. And we believe that. And so we're looking to, because we realize this is not the game. And for a lot of people, churches, and I'm okay, but I'm for anybody trying to do something for God. But a lot of people believe Sunday morning is the game. Everything is about the game. Bring them to the game. If we can only get them to the game. Something big is going to happen at the game. Easter's the Super Bowl Sunday. It's the big game. If we can only bring them, and bring them, we want that. We're trying to bring people to church. That's a good thing. But here we got a different mentality. We believe the game is out there. And we believe that we're to leave here charged up, empowered, to go out there and to change our world for Jesus Christ. To bear fruit out there. People get saved here. People get ministered to. People get helped here. People get taught here. But we're supposed to take it and go out there and do something with it. And that's why we say empowering people to give life, empowering people to do the stuff, empowering people to be witnesses. And of course, in order to give life, you have to have it. But look at what it says. This is a great scripture. Look at what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This will really help you today to see where we're going and where you're going, where we should be going. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us all, comforts us in all our tribulation. Isn't that awesome? That we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. Do you see that? Do you see the responsibility? We may not like the responsibility, but we've got to be a responsibility. To whom much is given, much is required. One translation says of that verse, with those that have great gifts, have greater responsibilities. The Bible says, freely, freely we have received, freely we give. Old Testament says, and talking about Abraham, Abraham was blessed to be a blessing. The only place you're going to find fulfillment, you're looking for fulfillment? You're looking for fulfillment here on this earth? The only way you're going to have fulfillment is if you give what you've got. And you give it. And God takes it and does something amazing with it. We give it away. And here's the hard part. Well, how can I give it away when my life is in a mess? That's the time you need to do it. When you least feel like it. Because it will get you out of your mess. You start sowing seeds, start blessing others, and before you know it, your situation will be turned around. But if you're just focused on your problem, my problem, it's not going to get any better. You got to take the offensive. We believe in taking the offensive. So what we do here at Good News Church, and all the things Susie talked about, we still teach those things, but everything we teach is laced with purpose. There's purpose behind all the different things. God wants you to grow up. I want you to mature. I want you to fulfill God's plan for your life. I'm not looking at building a kingdom. I want to build you. And What we're really trying, and people over here can't see it, but, you know, we see a community of believers strongly connected to God and to each other, empowered by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to be able ministers. You see that part? That's what we're looking to do. Is it hard? Yes. Is it messy? Yes. Is it impossible? Yes. But don't we like impossible things?
Yes.
To be able ministers, reaching their worlds and beyond with the good news of Jesus Christ. Some of you may, this may lead to full-time ministry. Some of you may go to nations. But I still believe the highest calling is the believer's ministry. We were taught at ORU to go into every man's world with the light, with the gospel. It's just as important to take the gospel to your neighbor, to the school, to wherever you are, as it is to go to a nation. Now, I have one last verse to sum up where we are right now today. This verse to me, from my perspective, sums up where we are today. Susie mentioned it in her remarks and didn't know I was going to say this, but 2 Timothy 2, verse 1, and it's a New Living Translation. I don't know if I gave it to you in that or not. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1 says this, Timothy, my dear son. Isn't that something? They're not family. Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who are able to pass them on to others. After 20 years, and it has been an amazing ride, after 20 years, I want the things, the foundational things, to be passed on. I want them to be passed on to our kids, passed on to the youth, passed on to the adults. And for us to be disciples and to make disciples. But I want some to challenge some people today that maybe have a lot in them that I think it's time for you to step out and share more. It's time for you to give some things that you've received. So certainly, I want you to do some discipling at home. Your marriage and your kids, I mean, that's first and foremost. But I think coming up, and we'll talk more about this, but I think coming up, I think some of you have got in you a Bible study in you. I think some of you have got some prayer groups maybe you're going to start up. I think some of you are going to start getting together more with people for coffee and in my favorite place, the Waffle House. I mean, there's just good, greasy food at Waffle House. I'm not recommending grease, don't get me wrong. I want to give you life, but I tell you, it's good. Maybe there's some book studies. Maybe there's some people just getting together, fellowship. I mean, I had that growing up. I mean, when I got saved, my brother Pat and Perkins is the fancy Waffle House up in Minnesota. They call it Perkins. And we used to go there 1 or 2 in the morning. And I used to, you know, in my earlier days, I mean, I'd be out in the clubs at that time. But my brother Pat and I just got saved. We're in Perkins, 1 o'clock in the morning, talking the Word. Listening to tapes, talking about the things of God, what's God doing, what's God... I mean, we were just so excited about the things of God. My dream is to get back to that. When I start seeing that happen, I'll know something's happening. So the follower of Christ, the disciple, is someone that follows Jesus with the intent of being like Him so that they'll start to think, speak, and act like the Master. Right? And so we're going. And so if that's the case, He spent time with people, the 12, the 3, close to 3. So if we're going to follow Jesus and think, speak, and act like Him, then we're going to help those that are maybe weaker, or maybe even the same, to encourage them to do that. Every one of us has got a part in this. You may feel inadequate. We all feel inadequate. Even the things I'm facing today, I feel inadequate. God always gives me things bigger than myself. Because if I could do it, why would I need Him? But I believe we're at that this 20-year point. The word 20 means expectancy. What? Come on, give me something big like you've arrived. Now you're just going to coast. Why can't 20 just mean that? But you think about your 20s, you know, finish up college or training and you're starting that job or all, you know, a lot of things happen, you know, you're starting to build something then. So there is an expectancy. And all of us are inadequate, but I'm going to tell you today, you're empowered for a reason, and I've been praying for you, and I'm speaking boldness over you, and I believe you're the ones, like Peter, crazy Peter, stepping out of the boat and walking on water. Now, some of you, I'm having to use a lot of faith because it looks like you're going backwards, but I'll tell you today, I am not giving up on you, and I don't believe what I see. I believe what I'm seeing on the inside. And right now, I think I believe it more than some of you, but that's okay. But I'm believing for boldness, and I'm believing for those seeds that have been planted in you to bear fruit. And I thank God, this is the glory barn. And the glory barn is the place you bring the harvest. And you come and you get it cleaned up and you get it up and then you distribute it out. So who's going to pass it on? Who's going to pass it on? Some are thinking, oh my God, I wish I didn't come to service today. So, you know, so deep. But what's it all about? What's it all for? What's all the blessings for? Why are we so blessed? And, you know, you're like, who much is given, much is required.